Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Hi family, how you doing? So good to be able to minister from the front here. I'm so full of faith. That was such an awesome time of praise and worship. It was so awesome. So much freedom in this place. And today, gosh, today I get to round off our series. For the last 2 months, we've been going through Matthew chapter 5 and 6. Pastor Nelly's done a great job. He preached on the Beatitudes. We've had Alex teach on being salt and light. We've had Pastor Jonathan minister last week on prayer. And who enjoyed Pastor Jonathan's message? How awesome was that? That was on the kingdom of heaven and how the Lord's Prayer, we can literally pray that over each other and pray that over our situations, over our church, claiming the heaven to come to earth. So, oh man, it's just so awesome. And today I want to ask you, church, I'm going to be finishing off this series with fasting. Who's excited?
Yeah.
You know what? I can actually genuinely say I'm excited about preaching this message. I'm really excited. I'm busting to preach this message. The title of this message is What's on Your Plate?
Nice.
Okay, what's on your plate? And so just turn to your neighbor and ask each other, what's on your plate? All right, let's not get starting to think about dinner or anything like that. I just pray this message will start to whet your appetite and get you excited for what is to come. Because we're not talking about natural food, we're talking about spiritual food, guys, spiritual food. All right, so can I get you all to please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18. All right, no Kiwi jokes about the 6 and the 7, all right, today? We're saying 6 and 7 a lot, okay. All right. When you're all there, say there.
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 Right there.
Oops, I need to be there too. Thanks, Michael. Pointing it the wrong way. Okay. Can we all read this together? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So can we read that together and we'll try and keep it as much as we can together. All right, ready? When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Let us pray. Father God, I ask you to reveal to your church the power of prayer and fasting and how they can release this power in their own lives. God, I thank you for your word that it is alive and active and continues to challenge us and take us to new levels of breakthrough every week. Father, I pray our church will have ears to hear what you're saying through your word today. Speak, Lord, we are listening. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at this passage a little bit further. The word fast literally means to abstain from food, so to stop eating. Okay, so some of you may be familiar with, if you've been through a surgical procedure, or you've had to, fast for a certain length of time to empty your stomach. We're not talking about a physical fast today. We're talking about biblical fasting as refraining from food for a spiritual purpose and brings you into a deeper, more intimate and powerful relationship with Jesus. Okay, so it's abstaining from the physical to get more of the spiritual, right? Now, notice I've sort of italicized and bolded the word when. When you fast. Okay, so Jesus at this time was speaking to the multitudes. He was actually ministering from the Mount. Okay, so he was actually speaking from the Mount of Olives and overlooking Jerusalem. And he was imploring his disciples as well as the crowd. So there were a mix of people in that crowd. There were Jews. There were Pharisees, who were the teachers of the law, the religious people of the day. There were people from all sorts of different backgrounds and beliefs. And, you know, he was really speaking to the crowd, believing that they were going to actually follow him. Okay, so he was saying, look, if you're going to follow me, this is what we do.
Okay, so he says when. The type of fasting Jesus is talking about here is going without food in order to spend time in prayer. Fasting gives us time in prayer. It teaches us self-discipline and reminds us that we can live with a lot less. I tell you what, this last week, I chose to fast because I thought, look, I can't speak about fasting if I haven't fasted in a little while, so I better fast. Okay, normally I wouldn't declare that publicly, but for the purpose of this, I'll share that. And you know what? It's been the most amazing week. It has been the most amazing week. I honestly used to be in a weekly attitude of fasting. I'd fast once to twice a week. And it became a bit of a routine for me. And then I realized, oh, it's lost its flavor. It's lost its holiness, or it's lost its sacrifice. Because going without food in your stomach, there's something sacrificial about that. I don't know about you, but even missing a meal for some of you guys is a sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
Okay, try going for a week with no food. You know, and I'm sure many of you have fasted for various reasons, and if you haven't today, I'll share with you what that means. But it was incredible, and I felt so clear. My mind's been so clear. I've been able to pray. I've been able to literally go to God's throne of grace and just ask him for things. Now, there's something supernatural that happens through fasting, and I've really enjoyed this week. It's been amazing. And so as Jesus was saying here, when you fast, right? So in Luke 5:34-35, it says, it is the duty of every believer and disciple to fast. So it's not something that he's like, well, if you want to, you know, if you're feeling like it, you could. It's like when you fast. And actually, when we look at this, he was actually, at the time he was speaking to, majority of them were Jews. Now, they knew what it meant to fast. In fact, they knew what it was to fast because they celebrated, it was the most holiest day of the year, and it still is today in Israel. It's called Yom Kippur, okay? And Yom meaning day, Kippur meaning atone or atone for, okay? So it's the Day of Atonement. And what this symbolized was when Moses gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and he atoned for the sins of the Israelites. Because what was happening when he was getting the glory of the Lord, okay, he was having his own time with the Lord. He was up on the mountain basking in God's glory as God was giving him the Ten Commandments. And what were the people doing? What were the people doing? The Israelites were building an idol to worship. They were building this like golden calf and they were worshiping it. While Moses was getting this holy moment, he was interceding for the people. He was going to God saying, you know, forgive these people. And he comes out with the Ten Commandments and he sees all the Israelite people worshipping this golden statue. And he's like, you're kidding me. Did we not just come from Egypt? Did we not just see God like provide manna from heaven? Did we not just walk through the Red Sea? What's going on? And the people just like, oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. But we built a really pretty golden calf to worship. And Moses was like, God, these people, man, I have to repent for them. I have to repent on behalf of them. And what it was is he had to sacrifice animals for their sin. So the blood of the animals would atone for their sins. And that was so symbolic for the people because they couldn't move on from that place. They couldn't actually move on from Mount Sinai if Moses had not atoned for their sins through that sacrifice. Okay, so for the Jews, it's very symbolic, the Day of Atonement. In fact, even if you're not a devout Jew, more often than not, you'll still celebrate the Day of Atonement. Now, that's 25 hours of full fasting. So it's one day of the year where everyone, well, supposedly everyone, will fast and choose to do without food. Now, the reason why it's holy is also because the word atonement, so if you break it up and it goes sort of to at one mint, it becomes being one with God. So at one mint, becoming one, reconciling to God. So through the act of sacrifice, through the act of, of giving ourselves to the Lord or repenting and actually asking for his forgiveness, we're becoming at one with him. We are reconciling with him, with our Father. You know, and it's funny because we look at this is a tradition and an expectation of the Jewish people today. the Pharisees, who were the religious people of the day, would actually fast twice a week. Okay, they'd fast twice a week. I'd call them fastaholics. And perhaps I was a fastaholic. Oh my goodness, perhaps I was. Perhaps I was a fastaholic. You know, I've got to repent from that. But you know why they fasted? They fasted to impress people. They were these people. So I'll just go back to that slide. Ooh. You know, it says, when you fast, do not look sad as the hypocrites do. The Pharisees, the religious people of the day, would make it really obvious they were fasting. Everyone would know. Everyone would know. They'd be on the street corners. They'd be out there with ashes and sackcloth and, you know, blood because they'd, you know, torn their skin. Oh, you know. And it would all be to draw attention. It would all be because they wanted to appear more holy than others. Now, I'm not saying every Pharisee was like that. Sorry, I should disclaim it yet. But a lot of them, it was for show. Now, Jesus commended acts of self-sacrifice done quietly and sincerely. You'll notice he talked about when we give, not to let anyone see that we're giving. And again, with prayer, we go into the room secretly and we pray to God in heaven. Okay, it's not about our deeds and our prayers being shown before people. It's actually about the attitude of our hearts. Now, God honors that more than he does outwardly and purposefully drawing attention, because it draws attention to us. It doesn't magnify him at all. You know, Jesus wants people to adopt spiritual disciplines for the right reasons, not from a selfish desire for praise. And so spiritual discipline is anything from reading your Bible, to praying, to giving, to tithing, to being part of a local church community. But it's also fasting. That's actually a spiritual discipline. And unfortunately, in that word, discipline is discipline, which means that we, you know, it involves focus, it involves sacrifice. But also in that word, discipline is disciple. So if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, there's an expectation from God that we will actually have self-discipline. And fasting really helps with that. Fasting is also an expression of deep sorrow. So when people are going through something tragic, like a loss in the family, you know, like if there's something that's been just a really traumatic situation, people in Israel and around the world will actually put on sackcloth and put ashes on their head and they will cry out to God. You know, and they refrain from eating. They don't want to eat. It's a deep sorrow that you just don't want to eat. Now, I don't know if any of you have experienced that. Have you ever experienced a time where something has been so sad or so traumatic that you just can't eat? You just lost your appetite. You just can't even look at food. There's nothing to draw you to it. And you're just not yourself. And if you're in that situation for a long period of time, you can actually get sick. And you can actually get depressed. And, you know, and that's what happens. And people do fast. And sometimes it's involuntary because you just can't face food. So it's a natural expression of grief. It's how we respond to sorrow. Okay, so this is also the foundation of why we choose to fast. There should be a godly sorrow if we've been in sin or if we've done something to offend a holy God. There should be a godly sorrow. Now, it says a godly sorrow should lead us towards repentance, which leads us towards times of refreshing will come from the Lord, which leads to no regret. That's a godly sorrow, okay? And fasting leads us toward a godly sorrow. Sometimes we can be so busy with our lives that we forget that there's a sin issue or there's an area that we've kind of let go unnoticed. You know, you're just like, oh, yeah, I made that mistake. That's all right. I'll just keep pushing on. But it's just niggling away there. And it might be something minor or it might be something that's consistent, like a pattern of behavior. And sometimes if we don't bring that to God, it can actually change us. And over time, we can get further and further and further away from God and his presence. And so that's why we need that godly sorrow to bring us towards repentance. And even this week as I've been fasting, God's been revealing things to me that I don't think I would have picked up had I not given him focus this week. Had I not gone, okay, Lord, what do you want me
to be aware of?
And wow, that's kind of scary when you ask that question, because there's a whole download that God does and you're like, whoa, hang on, wait, okay, repent. And there's so many things that there are. And you just, you forget because your life is so busy with stuff. And the thing with fasting is it actually brings you into focus. It brings you where you are hearing clearly from the Lord without distraction. Now, the great thing about fasting this week is that I haven't been full on on campus, which is great. I have been going into campus, but it hasn't been as full on a week. So I've been able to pray more, and I've been able to spend more time in God's presence. And that's ideally when you choose to fast, is actually when a time that you can actually substitute the food for prayer, because that's going to be your spiritual food, and we'll get to that soon. So it says here, when you fast, do not look somber. Do not look sad. You know, that's the thing. If you've chosen to fast, if God has called you to fast, or you've chosen, you feel like, okay, I really need to empty myself to be full of God, why be sad about it? If you've chosen it, right? God's not forcing you. Fast, you have to fast. He's not forcing you. Actually, it's a joy.
That's right.
It's a joy. It's a joy to fast. It's an exciting thing to fast because you know what? You're actually emptying yourself so that he can fill you more. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
He actually fills you afresh. You get rid of your stuff, your junk, and he actually fills you afresh with more of him. With more of him. I don't know about you. I want to decrease so he increases in my life. Right? I don't need any more of Roisin. I want more of Jesus in my life for good reason. Because I make mistakes. Jesus is infallible. I would love more of him in my life. So you know what? These people, these Pharisees, would disfigure their faces. They'd cover their faces in ashes, blood, dirt, to make it look really serious. You know, I think of like movies like Braveheart, where their like faces are like dirty like the whole movie. And you're just like, do you ever shower? Like, ugh. It's kind of like, oops, this, right? But they do that for like ages. And if they do that twice a week, they get into their like really smelly clothes and like don't wash and their hair's oily and yeah. And that's what they would do though to make it obvious. And so what God is saying here, what Jesus is saying, is not to make it obvious. We don't need to be like that. We don't need to make it obvious for people's approval that people would notice us fasting. In actual fact, it's better not that anyone know. It says, Jesus said the reward is better when you make it just between him and you. It's personal. It's like a relationship, a husband and wife. It's a personal relationship. You don't share everything about that relationship with others, right? There's things that you keep between that relationship. It's that with us and the Lord. We keep that sacred. We keep that a part of that close relationship. And then what pours out of that is blessing. And what pours out of that is increase. See how excited I am to share this? I'm like, whoa, there's not enough time. Awesome. Okay, so we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like that. Because it's not about seeking personal glory. It's not about seeking attention, but it's about really getting God's attention and downloading, letting him download to us. So let's look at what fasting is. So let's turn to Isaiah 58, 5 to 10. Okay, and I'll just read. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for living and lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Now, he's talking about the Day of Atonement only. So if you're only going to fast one day of the year, because everyone fasts, everyone knows you're fasting anyway, is that only what fasting is? No. He said, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Okay, I'll just go back to that one there. You know what stands out for me here? Is not. So he wants to make it clear. God wants to make it clear to Isaiah the prophet what fasting is not. Okay, because they know what fasting looks like because it happens every year. And like in this picture here, you'll see all the Jews will go to the Western Wall in Jerusalem and they will wail and they will pray all day long. They'll spend almost a day in the synagogue or by the wall here. And they'll be confessing their sin to these priests. Okay, all day long. All day long. So they know what fasting looks like for the Day of Atonement. But what Jesus is, well, what God is speaking to Isaiah about is that it's more than that. So they're used to that, all right? It's more than that. It's actually, he chooses for us to fast, and we partner with that agreement. Okay, I already felt I needed to fast, and that was because I prayed about it. I said, God, do you want me to fast? And I got a resounding yes. And it makes sense, you know, it's good to have it fresh while you're preaching. But, you know, that it says, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? Is it not to share your food with the hungry? Is it not to do things out of that personal time with the Lord? Actually, good things to come from it. Okay, so it doesn't end with us and that personal download, that amazing intimate time with the Father. It actually has a flow-on effect to your relationships with others. It has a flow-on effect to your family. It has a flow-on effect to your workplace. It has a flow-on effect to your friendships, to everyone around you. It has a flow-on effect. It shouldn't just end at you with fasting. It says, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. Sometimes it takes a fast to break things in your own life, in the life of your family, in the life of relationships that are close to you. Even if you've got something going on at work, sometimes it takes a fast. Okay, so sometimes it takes more than you. And when you deny yourself from eating food and you say, God, I'm going to commit the time that I would spend normally eating or preparing food to praying, God honors that. And he actually goes before you and makes your way straight. So he actually helps with that matter. Whatever you're believing him for, whatever you're praying and believing him for, he helps with that. And it says, then you will call, the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. He's there. He's there, church. When you call upon his name, he is there. And even more so when you're actually in a position of, in an attitude of worship. And when you're in a position where you're like, Lord, I don't want any more of this physical food because I know it doesn't satisfy. Physical food only lasts a day, but your spiritual food will last for eternity. I want more of that. I want more of that. That's going to last much longer than any bread of the day will for me. You know what? We cannot be saved by deeds or service without faith in Christ. You know, but our faith lacks sincerity if we don't reach out to others with it. You know, and that's why God longs for time in his presence. He longs for that. But you know what he also longs for? He also longs for others to experience that presence. He longs for others to experience that relationship with him. If it ends with us, then what if? You know, we need to, out of that private time with him, we need to reach out and actually share that with others. You know, I was at the hairdresser this morning, and thank you, Nelly. Led into a story. Okay, might not come back though. She was asking me, oh, what have you got on today? And I said, oh, actually, I'm preaching at a church. And they're like, really? Oh, awesome. What are you going to preach on? And I said, fasting. And she's like, oh, so you're Muslim? No, no, I'm not Muslim. But I'm a Christian, and I fast. And she's like, what? Christians fast? It's like, yeah, we do. And she's like, how does that work? And I'm like, well, we pray and we go without food. And she's like, why would you do that? And I said, yeah, I know. It seems a bit crazy, doesn't it? And And she was like, and she was genuinely really interested. She was like, wow, so what is that? You know, and I explained to her, and she was like, that is amazing. That is amazing. You would actually sacrifice eating to pray? Yeah, we do that. And she was like, wow, that's amazing. And I said, you know what? Do you know God? And she was like, no, I don't. And I said, wow, can I share with you something? And I got to share my testimony with her. I got to share with her, and she was so open. She was so open because she's like, hang on, you must really believe in this. If you are not eating, you must really believe in this, right? And it was actually awesome. We had such an awesome conversation, which carried on to her assistant who washed my hair. And I talked with her, and we talked about it. And then it carried on to the girl that was waiting at the counter. And I talked with her about it. She's a UQ student. I'll connect her with Club Real.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just like, hey, look, you can share anything. And God's just, people are waiting. People are waiting to see genuine Christians. They're waiting to see people that actually live out what it means to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Not the appearance of a Christian, but actually live it.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we look at, when we think back, and for those of you who missed the last couple of weeks, please go onto our website and listen to the podcast, because I've really enjoyed the messages. I missed a couple because I was overseas, but re-listening to them is so awesome. And there's a common thread, with the rope, common thread of where things link. And that would be around prayer, giving, and fasting. So when you think about the mind, the soul, the body, the spirit, okay, we can liken that to prayer, giving, and fasting. Okay, it says in Ecclesiastes 4, 9-12, and this is commonly used at weddings. It talks about two being better than one, for they get a bitter increase. And it talks about a three-quartered strand is not easily broken, because that's when God is in the center of any relationship or in anything that you partner with, there will actually be a greater increase and a greater measure of increase. And I want you to look at this for a minute with me. Now, this is not my making. I wish it was. That would be awesome. But Pastor Jensen Franklin, who is a pastor of Free Chapel Church in the States, he's brilliant. And he wrote a great book on fasting. And a lot of what I'm sharing with you are just revelations I've got from reading his book. And he suggests that prayer, first of all, I'll share with you about where the analogy comes from. It comes from the parable of the sower, where the man would sow seed, and he sowed it in four different places. And when he sowed it into good soil, it created a better increase. So basically his produce, his harvest, multiplied. Okay, and he said that, so Jesus talks about prayer, giving, praying, and then fasting. When the farmer planted his seed in the good soil, they hear the word, they accept it, and produce crops that were 30, 60, and 100 fold of that which was sown. And I want you to think about prayer, giving, and fasting in this. So you are actually sowing seed when you're praying. So when you're praying for Pastor Nelly during the week, and praying for his family, when you're praying for this church, when you're praying for one another, you're sowing seed. Okay? And you might get a 30 increase. You might get a 30-fold increase for that. Then you might come to a service, you might be praying during the week, and you decide to tithe, or you decide to bless someone. It doesn't have to be in the church. You might bless someone throughout the week. You're giving, or you're giving your time, or you're giving your finances, or you're giving your service, right? 60-fold increase. So there's a multiplication. And then it says that if you add fasting into the mix, there's a 100-fold blessing that takes place. Do you know why? This is the coolest thing. Do you know why? Because you are fully surrendering what you're praying and you're giving to the Lord. Because your time in fasting is going, Lord, all of you. All of you. So he's like, oh, awesome. I might just multiply that one. So I just want to encourage you. There's a 100-fold blessing that comes when you fast and when you pray and when you give. Because what you're showing the Lord and what you're showing the world is that you are not tied to anything else but the will of God. And when you're in the will of God, the perfect will of God, that's the best place to be. Because your finances, your heart, your service, your time flows into that.
And that's where he wants you to be. That's what he's designed and created you for. To please him and to be in his presence and to bless one another. Isn't that cool? So I want to ask you guys, are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for more of his presence?
Yes.
More of his, the joy that comes being in his presence. Are you hungry for that? Or are you satisfied with just filling yourself with the world, with the things that we have in our world to distract us? Is that satisfying you? Is that satisfying you? Because I know it's not satisfying me. I know that if not for this last week of fasting, I don't think I'd be aware of a whole lot of stuff. You know, and we need to be hungry for God. We can't be hungry when our stomachs are full. We can't be hungry when our stomachs are full, right? Okay, so how do we fill ourselves then? Well, I want to talk to you first of all about Esau. Esau was Jacob's brother. He was the eldest, the firstborn. But Jacob was very quickly born after him. They were twins. Now, Esau was hungry one day. He was out in the field, and he came back, and he said, "Man, I'm starving." And, you know, Jacob had just been stirring a pot of soup, and he's like, "John, some soup." He's like, "Yeah, give me some soup. I'm starving." And Jacob's like, "Oh, can I have your birthright? Can I have your inheritance?" And Esau was so hungry that he said, "Yeah, sure. Who would do that? Who would do that? I mean, that's got to be like hunger to do that, right?" But he did. And you know what this reveals? That, you know, you can literally eat yourself out of God's provision and his will. You can actually eat yourself out of that. Now, eating's not wrong. I just want to clarify. I love eating. I really love eating. But you know what? If God's calling you to fast or have a time of where you sanctify yourself, where you purify and clean those areas that need to be cleaned, and only you are going to know that. I can't see in your heads. I don't know what's going on in your lives. There may be sin issues that you're going through currently. There may be patterns of behavior that you need to change that I can't fix and Pastor Nelly can't fix. We're not here to fix them. Jesus is here to fix them. And the only way they're going to get fixed is actually when you empty yourself of what is in there and receive and be filled with God. Be filled with his truth. Be filled with more of his life and his joy. And be filled with love for others, actually. Be filled with love. Now, I just want to talk to you about what fasting can do. Fasting actually prepares the way for fresh revelation, for fresh vision, and a clear purpose. In Joel 2, it talks about, "And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." Now, Joel was a prophet and he was prophesying over the people at that time. But I also believe that we can't be poured into without being poured out, right? So God, first of all, needs to give us fresh revelation and fresh vision and give us clarity. And sometimes that comes through fasting. Number two, fasting is what prepares us for a new anointing. In Mark 2:22, it says, "No one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined." No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. It would be like buying a new house and putting really dirty furniture in the house and just not cleaning it. It's like, what's the point, right? And vice versa, having a really, like, really dirty house and putting new furniture in. You know, you just can't, you might as well just clean the whole lot and start afresh, right? The same with us. We need to, if we're wanting a fresh anointing from God, fresh vision, we need to be first emptying ourselves. And thirdly, fasting releases the power of God. King Jehoshaphat, he was a king of Judah at the time, and he was a God-fearing king. He was surrounded by a powerful enemy army, and he felt called to ask everyone to fast with him. Now, this was an incredible fast because the people, they were so scared. This army was going to take them. They were all going to get killed and all going to be, you know, their wives were going to probably be, you know, all sorts of stuff, and the kids were going to be taken. But because Jehoshaphat heard the voice of the Lord and he called them all to fast, they were saved, and even
God not only delivered them in one day, but also prospered them with the spoils from battle. In fact, it took the people 3 days to carry out the spoils. So he blessed them with a triple portion. So sometimes when there's a corporate fast, like we sometimes have these in church, like before the men's victory weekend, there'll be a corporate fast where all the men will fast, and actually the women should fast with them because they need victory. And then when we have our victory weekend, the men please fast for us. And then there's a corporate blessing that comes, that God brings a greater blessing, a greater increase. Fasting is not just a physical discipline, it can be a spiritual feast. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Are you hungry for more of God in your life?
Yeah.
Are you hungry for more of his plans for your life, for more of vision from him? Okay, I hope you are. I am. So what's on your plate currently? Shouldn't fasting and prayer be a part of your life? I feel like I'm a motivational speaker. Okay. But you know what? In Romans 12:1, sorry, I'm standing in front of the screen. It says, "Therefore I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." The discipline of fasting breaks you out of the world's routine. It is a form of worship, offering your body to God as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. It'll keep you humble, remind you of your dependency on God, and bring you back to your first love. I know I'm actually more in love with Jesus than I've ever been. I'm more in love with Jesus than I've ever been, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. Because I felt the last week has really taken me to a whole nother level of intimacy with him, which I never would have got to if I hadn't gone through that week of fasting. And there are greater levels to encounter. I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished encountering that love because there's more. And the more you pursue God, and you know, as Nellie shared before, the more you draw near to God, he draws near to you.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So it's really only limited by the amount that you draw near. Because God's going to give you everything. If you give him all of you, he's going to give so much. So there's got to be a first drawing in. There's got to be a first letting go and abandoning. So I'll move quickly. So when you hunger for God, he will fill you. In Matthew 5, when we talked about the Beatitudes, it said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Jesus said in John 6:35 that he is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. He is the sustenance that we need.
Yes, he is.
You're not going to die one day of fasting. Don't worry, I fasted 5 days. I didn't die. Praise the Lord. You lose a little bit of weight, but then you gain it right back. Anyway, so it's not the point. Not the point to lose weight, all right, guys? Yeah. But the most important thing with fasting is you position yourself, you empty yourself of that which is of the flesh, which is that which is of the world, and you prepare to be filled by him and with him. Do you know that the first thing Jesus felt in his earthly ministry for you and for me was hunger? And the last thing that he left on this earth was thirst. As he hung dying on the cruel cross, Jesus, out of everyone, understands the weariness that can come through fasting and toll that it takes. Hebrews 4:15-16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in our time of need." Jesus wasn't a priest like the Pharisees would go to and confess their sins. He was someone that understood all of our weaknesses. He hung on a cross and literally bore the weight of our sin, our mistakes, our relational dysfunctions, our horrible mistakes that we're even ashamed to admit. He took them. He wasn't ashamed. He took them bare, naked, on a cross. He took them. And he did that so that he could empathize with us. So when we choose to pray, when we choose to deny our flesh of physical delight and physical sustenance, he then says he will fill us. He's the bread of life. He is the living water. He is, and that's what he's saying. Look, I'm the bread of life.
Yeah.
Taste and see that I'm good. Taste and see that I'm good. Fasting, praying, and feeding on the word of God puts the sword in your hand and positions you to discern the difference between your thoughts and God's thoughts. There are no higher authority to know the heart of God for any situation that you're facing other than actually going straight to Him. You know, I wish I could be like Jesus and not every situation that you're going through. I'm sure Nelly does too sometimes, you know? We don't. We're not. We're human as well. But God doesn't want you to be dependent on man. He wants you to be dependent on Him for that sustenance, for that bread. It's like every day you get up, you have breakfast. God wants to remind us today, every day you need to read His word. You need to read His word and receive. Be ready to receive what appetizers He has, and then what sustenance He can provide through His word, what truths you need to know about your situation, what lies you've been believing, and what truths need to be revealed over that situation. Are you hungry, church? Are you hungry?
Yeah.
Are you hungry? What are you hungering for? Are you hungering for God, or are you hungering for stuff that's in the world that doesn't satisfy? Can I just get the music team to come up? Can I just pray for you? I get everyone just to bow their heads with me. And I want you to think currently, what is on your plate? What is on your plate? And I want you to think about in this message that I shared with you today, because I know that God is speaking to many of you. I know this wasn't just for me. I know that many of you wouldn't have fasted. Maybe you've never fasted before. And you're like, I don't even know where to start. But I know I need to. I know that I need to get deeper in my relationship with God. I know there's an intimacy that I haven't even tapped into. I know there's things that God wants to share with me, but I'm too afraid to do it. I know that there's things in my life that need to change, that I need to get delivered from, but I just don't know where to start. I'm speaking to those people today. I'm speaking to those people who really are feeling empty spiritually. But there's a hunger, even a niggle, where you just need Jesus. You need that sustenance. You need that bread of life that will take you through whatever season you're in and will take you through the temporal struggles into the eternal. Can I ask those people who are under the sound of my voice really, really bearing witness to that, just to raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Father, I thank you, God, that you are the bread of life, that you promise that when people come to you, they will hunger and thirst no more. You will fill them, God. I pray, Lord, over everyone who's here, God, that there is just a revelation, Father, of hungering after spiritual things, hungering after more of your presence, hungering after more of your truth and your love, God. Father, I ask, God, that today you would breathe on them afresh. There would be a fresh anointing, fresh vision and revelation. Father, if you are calling them to fast, then, Father, I pray, God, the grace would be there as they enter into a time of prayer and fasting, seeking your word, seeking your will in their lives, Father God. And, Lord, I pray, God, just for anyone who's feeling on the outer, God, who's feeling like there's just... they don't even know where to tap into, where to start. I just ask whoever's here today that doesn't even know what I'm talking about. It's all foreign to them. Actually, they don't even know who Jesus is. If there's people here today that you don't yet have a relationship with Jesus, God wants you to receive these promises just like He does me or anyone else in this building. His promises and His word are for everyone that would believe in His Son. I want to ask if anyone's here that doesn't believe in Jesus, but today are willing to make that decision and to come to His throne of grace to receive living water that does not run out, to receive bread of life that sustains and fills. Can I ask you to raise your hand and I'll pray for you? Spiritual family. I thank you, God, for, Lord, just the word that you brought forth today. Father, I thank you, God, for the power of fasting.
I pray this revelation will go deep in our hearts and will bear much fruit, God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is so much more to unlock. There's so much more of your presence that we haven't even encountered. Father, keep us hungry and thirsty for your presence and time with you, Father.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.